All right, what the heck is going on when the National Guard has to be activated because one of our major cities in Minnesota is under cyber attack? It is drive time. We are live at Target Field today. If you want to get a sense of summer without being out of the humidity, check out our stream on the YouTube channel on WCCO Radio. You can see Dan and I here at Target Field. So the big story of the day is the city of St. Paul under a cyber attack. I'm not exactly freaking out about the fact that I can't check out a library book in St. Paul, right? Or I can't pay a water bill. But the fact that cyber criminals are going after cities now and city government, that has me concerned. And I don't know if our cities in Minnesota fully have their arms around this problem. Minnesota, Wisconsin, anywhere in America, frankly. Are we ready? Because how does this unfold? What is next? What are they after? Kate Keene is the vice president at Worldwide Technology. She is a global cybersecurity expert and an advocate, and she is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline because we wanted to get kind of a big picture look at this. Kate, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Are cities ready for this next wave of cyber criminals to be coming after kind of local hometowns like what happened in St. Paul?
You know, that's a double-edged sword. There's a lot of preparedness that goes on. You know, every city does have cyber defense. Every organization, every government does have emergency contingency planning. But the reality is that, you know, cyber risk changes almost on a daily basis. And, you know, they get more creative on how they're going to attack, what they're going to attack, and how that's going to impact. And they have different reasons for attacking, you know, whether it's, you know, like you said, not being able to check out a library book or to cause fear and panic amongst citizens, or to do things like take hospitals down, telecommunications down. There's a lot of ways that, unfortunately, cyber criminals can really cripple our cities. And this has been going on, whether it be cities, school districts, hospitals, for a number of years now.
So we've seen it in the school districts for sure. And the city of Minneapolis had a very major breach of their school district not long ago. I think, you know, part of the challenge here is there are limited funds, right? This is not we're not talking about Fortune 500 companies that might have a budget to look at this stuff. This is the city of St. Paul that's worried about safety and security and all the, you know, and police in the real world. And then to have to worry on top of it about the fact that there are bad actors trying to break in. And what are they trying to get? We don't know. But this is a challenge because this work isn't cheap, is it?
No, it's not. And you bring up a good point. You know, like even the Fortune, you know, say 100 companies, you could spend every dollar profit on cyber, you know, technology and still not necessarily be safe. You have to kind of think about what are the critical things we need to be focusing on, you know, whether it be water, you know, electricity, our, you know, even like things like stoplights or police communication systems. What are the things we can't live without and kind of do an extra bubble wrap around those? And then it's about education. How do we educate the population so they know what to do when there is an attack?
When you look at these sorts of attacks, is there a common way that these criminals are getting into the systems? Is this somebody clicking on a phishing link, or is this more sophisticated people figuring out vulnerabilities in the system and kind of breaking through?
It's actually both. So, you know, we hear about the phishing links or the sophisticated attacks, even on our, like, Gmail and things like that to gather information. That's one way. And a lot of times those are information gathering so that they can do more sophisticated attacks. We've seen in the last couple of years, you'll have heard about something called the Typhoons, which is a group of Chinese actors. And they've been sitting in systems like our water systems, our utilities, telecommunications, for years gathering intel to ensure they understand how best to attack us. So it's a little bit of both. There isn't one way they attack all the time. It's more they're kind of opportunistic or they sit and wait depending on what they're trying to accomplish.
From what you know about the way here in Minnesota they've been dealing with this, St. Paul said that the attack started late Friday. The systems were shut down today to try to prevent the spread. They're working with the FBI. They're working with the state. They've communicated pretty clearly. And the National Guard here has a cyber protection unit, which I had no idea about until today. Yep. But I look at this and think, for me as an outsider, like, honestly, I'm sort of impressed, Kate. Like, it seems like they're handling this in about the best way they can. What's your take?
I was reading about it over the weekend, and I heard about it on Friday. And what I'd say is, I think you're doing everything right. To your point, you know, the systems that are impacted are shut down to stop further spread or reinfection. They're doing everything they can with forensics. They've engaged the right national and even to some degree international resources to help understand what they're dealing with, and they're looking at how they can restore. We always know that there's going to be cyber attacks, but it's the restoration recovery. How fast can we get it back up, and how can we lean on organizations like the FBI, and like you said, even the National Guard, to help make sure that the impact of the attack is as minimal as possible? So I'm really proud of the city. I think they've done a great job so far.
Kate Keene is with us, Vice President at Worldwide Technology. She's been described as a cybersecurity visionary. Kate, I know. How about that? Like, that's a little overwhelming. I don't know. That's
a
lot of pressure.
I still have a problem being an expert. I still think I'm a novice in pretty much everything.
Well, it's sort of hard to keep up with the bad guys in this area, right? And I think when it was the schools, and we had here a very large grocery chain and distributor, UNFI and Super Value here, where you had, like, you know, you're going to the grocery store and they don't have eggs and they don't have milk, not because of tariffs or cost or anything, but because somebody got in their computers and was executing a ransomware attack. Often this is for money. Sometimes this is trying to get people's personal information, although I don't know quite whether the city of St. Paul, the city is saying we don't have sort of the personal information people want. What are the motivations here? Is it usually, in your experience, the ransom, people trying to get money out of this deal?
It depends. So, you know, a lot of times it is money, ransomware. You know, we attribute a lot of the attacks on rent money to North Korea, and there's some Russian state actors as well, and just homegrown as well. It's a money thing.
Yeah.
Things like this where you see where it doesn't really have money motivation, it can be really just to create distrust and concern from a population perspective, so population control. You know, they're trying to seed, in essence, sow seeds of doubt or get pieces of information, or they're using, it sounds funny, an attack like the one we've seen as a precursor to, say, a larger attack on a bigger city. What were they able to do? How were they able to do it?
Huh.
What worked?
Interesting.
And we hear it is called door knock attacks. So there's a lot of different motivations, unfortunately, and it depends on the actor, it depends on what they're trying to accomplish, and unfortunately, this may not be the last one like this we see.
Yeah, and you say, like, maybe they do this to see what they can, I hadn't considered that, where it's like, let's see how this goes, and now we can, you know, let this launch on Chicago or L.A. or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it's basically a learning thing, a learning exercise, and we see that a lot, you know, with more sophisticated threat actors.
Kate Keene is with us, cybersecurity expert at Worldwide Technology. When you think about the number one vulnerability, you know, I'm just thinking about the people listening, what we should be worried about, what we should be asking elected officials about. What is the number one vulnerability that worries you?
The one that keeps me up at night, and I was actually in Washington, New York last week on it, is our energy system and our water system. So the utilities and water.
Yeah.
You know, as we think about some of these attacks, like on cities and schools and hospitals, you know, they have widespread ramifications. But think about what happened if the water treatment facilities went down, if the grid went dark.
Yeah.
That's what makes me nervous, and I really want us to focus more time and attention on those.
That infrastructure, for sure.
Yep.
Doug on Facebook is asking, what kind of penalties are there? Did they ever catch these guys, these cyber hackers? It seems like often they're overseas.
They do catch them. We catch our homegrown and we catch the overseas ones. You know, we work with governments in the Five Eyes and, you know, internationally to bring these guys to justice. We do internally in the U.S. as well. You know, some of them we actually do prosecute and they go to prison. Other ones, you know, we in essence turn to the good guys and help and have them help us catch more bad guys. But we do a lot of times get them. It may take a while, but luckily we do have a good system on getting these guys brought to justice.
Really appreciate the information. To be honest, it's a little unnerving, right? And I know that's part of the goal, and I am impressed with how well the city has handled it. But the fact that we've had them going after our schools, and schools, you think like, well, there is a lot of personal information in there and the files about kids and on and on and on. And cities maybe less so. I think in Minnesota, the counties tend to have maybe more of our personal information. But either way, it is the modern era, right? Like, this is something that I don't want to say we have to get used to, but we do have to be vigilant about.
Well, and to your point, you know, as much as we talk about personal information, think about city systems. What if they got control of the, you know, stoplights, and all of a sudden there's car crashes because the stoplights are going crazy? Or,
sure,
you know, the hospital attacks we saw in the last year or so. They can't call an ambulance out and someone dies. Like, there's wider ramification to these, and that's why the education of understanding what's at stake here is becoming more and more important.
Kate Keene, really great information. So glad you could spend a little time with us today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. Kate Keene from Worldwide Technology talking about this cyber attack that our newsroom has been following. We're going to break. We are live at Target Field. It is Twins Ticket Tuesday. So just a reminder, keep listening for your chance to win four tickets to the Friday, August 8th, Kansas City Royals game at 7:10 p.m. There's going to be fireworks after the game. We will give away the four-pack when, I don't know, when you hear the sound, don't call now, but when you hear the sounder, 651-461-9226. In just a minute, from Target Field, late-night TV, it's too political. I'm not mad that it's lefty. I will tell you why I am mad about it. We'll do that conversation when we come back here on CCO.